All right, well, welcome aboard. This is your captain speaking. On this short trip, we will mention some movies, some thoughts on life, a recently departed favorite actor of mine, and some other bullshit. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode.
You are my density. You are my density.
And speaking of flying, did I ever mention that I literally puked on myself midway through a flight from Los Angeles to New York? But let's forget about that. Current news alert. Okay, I'm not going to get into the details of the Sean Puff Daddy Piff Duddy, whatever the fuck his stupid name is. And maybe the racketeering charge was a bridge too far. But he certainly was guilty of coercion and of being a bully, a punk, a woman beater, and an all-around sleazeball. Another reason I think we need professional jurors. I think the idea of jurors being our peers is long outdated. I mean, have you seen our peers lately? If they remade 12 Angry Men these days, it would be called 12 Dumb Motherfuckers. Well, either way, I hope Piff Dummy does some jail time. Now, we must mention the recent passing of Michael Madsen, who was just one of my favorites. He just seemed like an old school dude, like effortlessly cool, handsome, troubled, but the guy had acting chops and an undeniable sincerity. Michael Madsen kind of followed that trajectory that so many actors and so many people fall into. Okay, you're a great looking guy, great actor, gets successful, succumbs to his demons along the way, fill in the blank, drugs, alcohol, violence. And yes, a lot of his movies weren't great, but he always was. I mean, his life was a series of highs and lows, and it sounds like he was still struggling at the end. He was married 3 times. He had his share of heartbreak, some arrests, but he was also a sensitive and creative guy. He dabbled in poetry and stuff. His sister, the actress Virginia Madsen, aptly was quoted as saying about Michael, "He was thunder and velvet, mischief wrapped in tenderness, a poet disguised as an outlaw." And the 1971 Kris Kristofferson song, The Pilgrim, Chapter 33, is also kind of spot on, which really captures the rise and fall of so many Hollywood figures. Some of you may remember part of this song being quoted by Sybil Shepherd to Robert De Niro in the movie Taxi Driver. But anyway, the lyrics are, "See him wasted on the sidewalk in his jacket and his jeans, wearing yesterday's misfortunes like a smile. Once he had a future full of money, love, and dreams, which he spent like they was going out of style. And he keeps right on a-changin' for the better or the worse, searching for a shrine he's never found, never knowing if believing is a blessing or a curse, or if the going up was worth the coming down." He had 7 kids, and his son Hudson tragically died by suicide in 2022 after serving in Afghanistan. Michael Madsen stayed busy, and he made a lot of not-great movies in order to keep his family afloat. He once said, "When people offered me work, it wasn't always the best, but I had to buy groceries and I had to put gas in the car." Yes, he was a tough guy, often with a gun in movies, but it sounded like ultimately he was a guy who struggled, made mistakes, tried to do better, and ultimately was a devoted father. And yes, he famously appeared in several Quentin Tarantino movies, playing Mr. Blonde in Tarantino's overrated film from 1992, Reservoir Dogs. Yes, I said it, it's a good movie, but it's not as great as it thinks it is. But the prime Michael Madsen performance for me is 1989's Kill Me Again, mentioned several times before with Val Kilmer and Joanne Whaley Kilmer, with Michael Madsen as our villain. It's a great noir, great story, great acting, and I was a kid when I saw it, and I was like, okay, whoever this Michael Madsen guy is, he's fucking cool. So rest in peace, Mr. Madsen. You led a hell of a life. And it seems like slowly but surely all of my cinematic heroes are dying. Before we mention some more movies, I came up with possibly the dumbest sport in history. Okay, so an athlete is proficient in sports, and someone good at math could be called a mathlete. So get ready, America, for the newest sports craze, mathletics. I'm still working on the details, but the contenders basically, have to run a certain distance. And then as soon as they get to the finish line, there are desks set up there with pens and papers and calculators. And these mathletes have to figure out several extremely difficult calculus problems. So the first person to finish the contest is our winner. And there can be variations on the theme, maybe doing a high jump and then solving a Rubik's Cube. I don't know. It's still in the planning stages. Okay, a quick George C. Scott joke, and I think I've got an alternate ending for you even on it. So George C. Scott is the boss in his office. A coworker comes in, and George says, "God damn, I've got the worst headache." And the coworker says, "Why don't you go home, boss?" And George says, "Well, because I've got a headache every goddamn day." Or here's an alternate ending. The coworker says, "Why don't you go home, boss?" And George says, "Well, because my wife is home." Okay, and I saw Darren Aronofsky has a new movie coming out. It's a crime thriller called Caught Stealing with Mr. Elvis, Austin Butler. And I just need to get this out of my system. Darren Aronofsky sucks. His movies suck. They've always sucked. His movies are kind of like intellectual films made by a pompous dope. I mean, his first film, Pi, from 1998, was interesting. Nothing I would ever watch again or anything. But everything else is overwrought, overly arty, and pretentious as they get. I mean, don't even get me started on 2022's movie, The Whale. Okay, thank you for letting me rant. Now, as promised, when I went to visit my mom, I did watch a couple movies. And they're actually both well worth watching. 2025's techno-thriller-slasher-drop is pretty damn fun. And, of course, it's produced by Blumhouse. It's set in Chicago, but was largely filmed in Ireland. And it's about a widowed mother who goes to a restaurant to meet her date. She has a bit of a troubled history. And the hook is that someone at the restaurant is sending her messages and videos threatening to kill her son, who is at home, unless she kills her date. It's silly. It's got some plot holes, but it's pretty well shot. It's got some Hitchcock vibes, and it comes together. Megan Fahey is pretty good as our lead, and Brandon Sklenar is the date she is going to meet. He's pretty good too, but he mumbles a little bit too much. I mean, it's not mind-blowing, but it's totally worth seeing. But I really enjoyed the new film, The Monkey, a kind of nutso horror comedy directed by Osgood Perkins, who also directed Longlegs. The Monkey is based on a 1980 short story by Stephen King. It's about a couple of twin boys who come across a creepy-ass cymbal-banging monkey who happens to kill a random person every time you turn the key on his back. The plot kind of has a similar vibe to a really good movie I like called The Box, which I've mentioned so many times. I just watched the damn thing. Anyway, the kids try to get rid of the monkey. They both grow up estranged from each other. And guess what? A bunch of more deaths occur and the monkey is back. It's kind of a dark comedy. It's got some good gore. And the lead actor, Theo James, plays the adult version of the twins. Basically, one twin is a good guy and the other is a psycho. But let me tell you, I was really impressed by Theo James. I mean, the guy is a solid actor. He has a presence, man. And some of his mannerisms, and especially his voice, remind me of Jason Patrick, like circa the 1990s. And the director, Osgood Perkins, has the goods. As mentioned, he was the son of Anthony Perkins. And strangely enough, the idea of just random and unpredictable deaths, that's kind of the plot of The Monkey, also lines up with Osgood Perkins' life. His father, Anthony Perkins, died of AIDS. And his mom, who was a model and photographer, was a passenger on American Airlines Flight 11, the first plane to crash into the Twin Towers on 9/11. So Osgood has seen his share of pain and suffering, and hopefully he's able to get some release or to channel his suffering in his movies. So there, some movies for you, and I will report in some more next week. And I just ordered some ultra-random detective cop movies on VHS with Michael Madsen, so I'll let you know about those too. Okay, some life shit. You know, I'm happy to be in Los Angeles. The job I have is good, and some developments are looking promising. But you know, it's rough, and I know there are like billions of people in this situation. And you know, I get through the day okay after I get home from work, sometimes altered, sometimes unaltered. But especially as you get older, it's tough when you realize that at least currently, there's no one out there like romantically that is thinking about you, that is missing you, that is looking forward to seeing you. I mean, that's just the best feeling. Having that person that you think about gets you through the day. It gives you something to look forward to. I mean, there is truth to the saying, no man is an island. which I believe was either said by Kermit the Frog or John Donne. And I do know in my heart that I probably won't last as long if I never do find that special person again. So the search continues. And to close, oh, isn't this clever, but to close, I realized the other day that life is really just a series of opening and closing doors. Okay, let's open this door. Oops, excuse me, wrong place. Okay, let's try this door. Okay, yeah, this seems nice. Let's stay here for a while. Actually, I want to leave now, so let's close that door and find the next one, and so on and so forth. Does that make any sense? I mean, it ain't Paddy Chayefsky or something, but what do you expect? All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.